This is the ICANN 61 APAC Space meeting on the 14th of March, 2018, from 12:15 to 1:30 p.m. in room 102 ABC.
Hello, everyone. This is really just for the people who are on the live audio and are listening in from remotely. We are starting the session in a few minutes, so just hang in there. Hi everyone, this is Joyce, and I still have some more instructions for those who are on the live audio. If you go to the meetings page, you can actually download the presentation slides and then endeavor to follow our session. We will try our best to indicate when we are turning the slides, and then you can do so on your end. I apologize that we do not have live video feed, but we will do the best that we can. Thank you. Hello, everybody. This is Joyce Chen from ICANN. I'm from the APAC regional office based in Singapore. I want to welcome all of you to APAC Space. Thank you very much for joining us today in San Juan. And also, if you're on the live audio, I hope you can hear us clearly. Unfortunately, as you know, we don't have Adobe Connect for this session. So we will do our best to facilitate remote participation as well. I'll give you some instructions now for if you have questions during this session, what you can do. So if you're physically in the room, that's no problem. We can see you if you have questions, but maybe you're shy or you're also on the live audio feed. You can actually send your questions to us, and the email is ICANN61-102@ICANN.org. So I'll repeat that. That's ICANN61-102@ICANN.org. And we have our remote patient manager who will be helping us to read your questions out loud through this email as well. So if you have comments and questions, do feel free to post them on this email. So if I could just have the next slide, please. So this is the agenda for today. As you know, we'll be talking about the next generation GTLD registration directory services to replace WHOIS policy development process, or PDP, during this session. We're very pleased to welcome Chuck Gomes, who is the PDP Working Group Chair, to our midst today to introduce this PDP to us. It's very important policy work. As you know, there are a lot of discussions around the GDPR, what's going to happen with the WHOIS in the long term, and this PDP is exactly going to work on those questions. So before I begin, before we run the session, I'm going to pass the mic on to Jiarong, who will lead us through the next session to introduce what APAC Space is. Next slide, please.
Thanks, Joyce. So I'm Jiarong. If you've not met me before, I'm the Vice President for Asia. And my other hat is I look after the Singapore office, which is the regional office for the Asia Pacific. Now, most of us here are familiar faces, so basically you should know what APAC Space is all about. Essentially, it is a space for all of us from the Asia Pacific community, and there are two main things we want to do when we are together in this space. The first is, of course, to get to know each other as one community and be very comfortable sharing views with each other. And this is meant to be the practice ground for us to facilitate community discussion. And that's how we can be more effective in participating in ICANN. And the whole initiative is meant to be community-led, and I will talk a bit more about that. But our role as staff is really to facilitate for us to get together and participate more effectively. Next slide, please. So how is the APAC Space conducted? When we are at an ICANN meeting, it is face-to-face. And when we are not at an ICANN meeting, it will be on a web conference. The whole idea is to do this on a bi-monthly basis and to create a regular channel to foster interaction amongst ourselves. The focus for APEC Space really is to, as I mentioned, to facilitate participation, and therefore the discussion would tend to focus on PDP discussion amongst others. That's why today we are talking about the next generation RDS PDP. If you are not on the mailing list is on the slide, discuss at apexspace.asia, and you see that it's not an ICANN website, ICANN domain, because APEC Space .asia has kindly volunteered to help to facilitate on the community mailing list. So the mailing list facilitates the setting of agenda and to raise discussion issues. So if you're not on it, please write to the mailing list and we'll get you on it. And there's also a community wiki page on that link. Next slide, please. Now, based on the last APEC Space survey, we have three key focus areas in terms of discussions. One is on the DNS industry topics, the second is on PDPs, and the third is on reviews. We try to rotate the different topics each time, or rather the themes each time. So we are going to talk about the APEC Space survey again. So Joyce will take us through during the AOB. But other than that, that's really about it for APEC Space. Now, the next important thing I think Joyce will take us through is introductions. We want everyone to know everybody and be very comfortable with each other. So in this group, if you are sitting behind, can you shift to the front, please? There are still spaces at the table. And if not, at the minimum, shift to the side. Otherwise, we cannot see you. And the purpose of the session is not for you to be listening. It's for you to get to know each other. So, Professor Kim, there's tons of space. Maybe, don't use let the bag sit on the chair, but have people sit on the chair instead. Yeah, just open space for our friends to be sitting down together. We got no mics at the back also, so it's going to be quite hard for you to introduce yourself. Yeah. Okay, so now we'll just go around for introductions. Hand over back to Joyce. All right, Paul, we'll start from you. Introductions, your name, talk a little bit affiliation, and maybe just one thing about yourself everyone can remember.
I'm Paul Wilson. I'm the head of APNIC, based in Brisbane. I didn't come to APNIC. APNIC came to me when it relocated from Japan in 1998, and that's when I joined. So if you can do your arithmetic, you'll work out I've been there for a while. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Craig Ng from APNIC as well, General Counsel. I co-hosted the Melbourne ICANN meeting in 2001.
Hi, my name is Satish Babu, and I chair the Asia-Pacific Regional At-Large Organization, which is the end-users organization for the region, one of the five ICANN end-user regional organizations. Thank you.
My name is Watson Singh, affiliates. We run a couple of key country co and TLD in Asia, so that's for the reason I'm here. Thanks.
I'm Ajay Datta from India. I'm part of UASG EAI coordinator, where we are promulgating universal acceptance. I'm also chair for Neo Brahmi Generation Panel, where we are doing LGRs for 9 scripts. Indian scripts, which also covers Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Nepal. And I am, as a day job, I run a technology company where we build solutions for IDNs to be enabled for email. And for the experience sake, I am into internet services last 20 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, can we go to Wang Wei first?
I'm sorry, I was discussing the IDN things with Peter Nan, so I'm a little bit late. Hi, this is Wang Wei from KNET, the IDN UGTLD registry, and I'm currently serving as the co-chair of the Chinese Label Generation Rules panel and the PDI board.
I came to this meeting just to want to, one of my job's mission is trying to close the Chinese generation panel as soon as possible. We really want to have it done by I hope have done by this meeting, but it seems that it might be done. I hope it could be done by this year, as soon as possible, for the second round of generation, second round of new GTLD. I think everything goes smooth, and we just had a successful meeting with IP, though we still have some issues unsolved. But I hope we can make it quick. Thank you.
Ali.
Ali Al-Mishal from Bahrain. I'm the vice chair of the AP RALO. So the only thing that you can remember me with at this specific meeting is I'm the only Arabic person here. So keep this in mind.
Hello, everyone. My name is Zhuan Zhang, also Peter Green is my English name. I come from CONAC, a registry for two Chinese GTLDs. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jeff Ye, and I'm from Bremer. Bremer is basically a registrar of mostly hosts serving the Asia region, mostly in China base. And actually, I came meeting a few times, but actually this is the first time I've been to the APEC space. So it's very nice to meet all you. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Yuliu. You can call me Lincoln. I'm a policy advisor from the China Academy of Information and Communications Technology, and I'm responsible for supporting the MIIT to do the gap works, and this is my first time to attend the APEC session. I'm very looking forward to your comments and the speech. Thanks.
My name is Pablo. I work for APNIC. APNIC didn't come to me. I went to APNIC in 2010, and it's been great since then.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jeanette Caldera. My main purpose is talent development within the ICANN org, but today I'm helping out as the remote participation manager for this session.
Hi, my name's Cheryl Langdonor, Australia. I've had a variety of roles and interests in ICANN for more years than I care to admit to. If you want to know more about me, Google.
I'm Chuck Gomes. I'm the chair of the RDS PDP working group in the GNSO, and you hear from me a little bit later. But, I was kind of happy to hear somebody talk about the Melbourne meeting. That was a great meeting. I have some very fond memories. So I'm one of those that's been around a little while, too. And by the way, I'm from Northern California.
ICANN didn't have money in those days, and we had to pay $5,000 to help fund the meeting.
Hi, Raish Australia, ALAC, and you're going to hear a lot more from me, so you don't need to hear from me now.
Hi, I'm Savi Vodia. I'm the regional VP for Oceania region or the Pacific Australia Pacific Islands. I'm very happy to state here that there's about 10 economies that are represented here for ICANN 61. I see Australia and Cook Islands that are here, but the other 8 are somewhere. I think they've kind of engaged in other sessions, but hopefully they'll turn up.
Hi, everyone. This is Joyce again. As I mentioned before, I'm from the ICANN APEC Regional Office based in Singapore, and primarily I take care of Southeast Asia. I am also the go-to person for APEC Space. And while I have the mic, I have another instruction for those who are on the live audio. I know there might be some error on the link from the website, and if you're having trouble accessing it, please use the mobile app because the audio works fine from there, and we're still trying to troubleshoot at this point of time. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I am Merang from Sri Lanka, chair of SLNG, Sri Lanka Next Generation. SLNG is an at-large structure in AP RALO. Thank you.
Kia ora, my name is Maureen Hilliard. I'm with the ALAC from the Cook Islands, and I have an ALS, which is the Cook Island Internet Action Group.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jennifer Chung. I'm with .Asia, and I represent .Asia in the Registry Stakeholder Group in GNSO.
Hi, everybody.
Jian Zhang from Dot Asia too. Also, I'm on CCISO Council. I've been in this community for past 10 years, and I used to work for DOTSI and then act as general manager of APTLD. That's when we started this initiative of APAC. So I'm glad, you know, to see more and more people to attend this session.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ryan from SGNIC Singapore. I'm the head of technicals and operations there.
My name is Atsushi Endo. I'm with Japan Registry Services, JPRS, since 2001. And I served as a board member of Dot Asia since 2006. Happy to have you here. Thank you very much.
Hi, everyone. This is Karen Yu from ZDNS. We're a corporation registrar and also a registry service provider based in Beijing, China. So we're trying to link the registrar in China, so the a lot of overseas registries right now. So,
hi, my name is Kim Kyung-seok, and I work at Busan National University. And I'm involved in Korean labor generation rules. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Antonia Chu. From last ICANN meeting and ahead of that, I used to work with CNIC and also as APTLD Secretariat. But from now on, I'm now with Alibaba Cloud. I'm responsible now for the policy and the compliance. Very nice to meet you.
I'm Sophia Finn from ZDNS. I'm colleagues Wesley and Karen. I'm taking care of the TLD business division in ZDNS. And also, I'm currently served in the new GTLD subsequent procedure World Track 2 in the PDP processes in GNSO. So we are welcoming more APAC participations in the World Track 2 discussions. We need more voices from the Asia PAC for sure. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. My name is Boyoung Kim, and I work for KLNI KISA. This is .krcctld registry. I have been attending ICANN meetings since 2014, but I mostly attend the gang meetings, so I didn't have much time to meet the registry or registrar within APEC space, and it's really nice to see you in person. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Sophie Liang from Taiwan, and I work for NII, and it's a research institute in Taiwan, and we also help coordinate Taiwan Internet Governance Forum. By the way, we're going to have our the fourth Taiwan IGF in July in Taipei, and we welcome all of you to participate in Taipei, participate the event, and perhaps submit your workshop proposal to our event. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ayako Yokoyama from Interlink in Japan. We are the registry of .moe, .osaka, and .earth. I live in Tokyo, but I'm originally from Kobe, where we have the ICANN meeting next March. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jacob Williams. I'm Ayako's colleague at Interlink, and I've been around the community here at ICANN since 2009.
Hi, I'm Yoshi Murakami, Rep Director of Comlaude Validus Japan. And make a long introduction short, I'm a colleague of Jeff Newman.
Hi, I'm PT Nan from ICANN. I've been involved with ICANN since 2013 as a TIGAC before, and then become a fellow, and now responsible for IDNs. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Shinyoung Park from KISA, the KL Registry. I have attended a GNSO meeting over the 3 years, and nice to meet you.
All right, people sitting at the back.
Hello, everyone. I'm Eungjun John from Korea.
I'm an intellectual property law lawyer and working for the Yumi Law Firm. I'm also a member of the Korean Labor Generation Panel. I have attended ICANN meeting six or seven times, but this is the first time for APEC Space Session. Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Okay, so you know who to say hi to and, you know, get a drink together.
Good afternoon. My name is Krupa, and I work for Afilias. We are a back-end services provider for many TLDs, including .Asia. My team manages the operational relationships between Afilias and the different registry operator partners that we support today, helping them achieve their goals and mission. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Shin Yamasaki from Japan Network Information Center, JPNIC, which is the national IP address registry, as well as we are doing promoting internet stuff, including I can read out sessions a month or so later than every single ICANN meeting, and we also do some internet governance stuff. Glad to be here this time. And as Ayako mentioned, a year later, we're going to have ICANN 64 in Kobe, Japan. And I hope I can see all of us or even more.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alexandra Busiu. I'm from the University of Gothenburg in Sweden. And we have just launched with my research group a new project funded by the Swedish Research Council, which will be looking at the perceptions of legitimacy amongst all of you, amongst all of the constituencies and members of ICANN on ICANN. So this is just for me to get an idea of all of you, because we're going to be reaching out during the next year, during the meetings coming up the next year, and ask you to kindly participate to our survey. Thank you.
Thank you. I had a chat with Alexandra, so I invited her to join us and to see how our community gets together.
Oh, me. Hi. You knew that, so that's what I was doing, Cheryl. Hi, everybody. I think I know quite a lot of people in the room. My name is Mary Wong, and for the last 4.5 years, I've been a member of ICANN staff. But before that, I was a community member. I was on the GNSO Council working in part with Chuck and Cheryl and others, representing the non-commercial stakeholder group. And then a little known fact, I was actually then on the CCNSO Council appointed through the NOMCOM, and then I joined ICANN staff. So it's a little bit of a journey. But my role within ICANN has changed a little bit, but I still work a lot with the generic name supporting organization, and I know that PDPs and how to participate and how to get more active participation and engagement from the APAC region is really key to Jerong and his team and to all of us in the room. So I just want to say that since I'm originally from Singapore, apparently I've been allowed to become an honorary member of the APAC team. So in that capacity, there's obviously a whole policy team that I work with, but I think de facto, I've become the main policy contact for Jiarong and his team, and obviously you, the community. So very nice to meet you.
Thank you. Yes, so all along, I've never thought Mary as some other team. She's always in my APAC team. All right, we have one more community member who hasn't introduced herself.
Hi, everyone. I'm from Taiwan. My name is Wen Zhijian, and I'm also working at NLI, which is the same as Sophie. And yes, welcome to the TWIGF. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we have Tijani. Sorry, I missed. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Tijani Benjima. I am not from this region, but I am really proud of the AP region and his leadership. So I am here only to listen to you. I am a member of the ALAC from Africa.
Hi, everyone. This is Joyce again. Thank you very much for your introductions, and we will quickly move on now to the next part of our session. If I could have the next slide, that is on slide 6. So just to introduce Holly, she's our APEX-based community facilitator for this session. Unfortunately, Edmund couldn't join us in San Juan due to medical reasons, but we're very, very happy to have Holly here, and Holly will bring us through the Who Is background in the next slide.
This is a really brief potted history. I imagine a lot of you attended the APEX space on privacy that we had a few months ago. So some of this you will have heard before. I just want to provide a little bit of background for Chuck and for the discussion today to say privacy has been something that we, and privacy and data protection has been something that we've been involved in for a long time. Starting with, really, I want to go back to the early days of the directory service, which was the early days of the development of a protocol. And in those days, the directory protocol was between geeks, between the research community. They all knew each other, so they were all happy to actually have a directory service so they could reach each other. About the same time, the development of the OECD privacy principles, and I've talked to this group before about those principles. If I'm going to, I put that there to remind us all that this is not really a talk about just the GDPR, which is coming out of all of our ears. It's about the development of data protection throughout the globe, and as many of you are aware, throughout Asia as well. With the establishment of ICANN, they took over the directory service, which is called Who Is, which is really named after the protocol. And one of the early things they did was establish their contracts with registries and registrars. For those who haven't memorized the requirement in the registry agreement, which is standard with all generic top-level domains, public free access is required under Clause 3.3.1 to a registrant's name, address, email address, voice, telephone number, also fax, but I don't know if too many people know what a fax is. Moving right along over sort of the next 20 or so years, what you have is an enormous growth in the use of the internet, not by simply the geeks, but by the whole different kinds of communities, governments, business, corporations, individuals, so that the directory service that was established for one purpose actually became used for an awful lot. And an awareness also of, I suppose, data protection principles as well. So by the time you get to around 2010, 2011, 2012, it's becoming obvious that there is a growing, let's say, tension between the standard requirement for personal public information to be made publicly available to whomever, which is required under the RAA, and a growing awareness of the need for data protection, which would not support that. So you have, in 2012... you have two things. You have the establishment of the PDP that Judge Chuck has lived with all of his life, and a thing called the Expert Working Group, the EWG, which was really charged with saying, well, let's actually stand back and start from scratch as to what it is that we should be requiring of information, who should get it, and for what purpose, really along basic privacy lines. In 2014, they came out with their report, and one of the most important things they said was, we should be scrapping the concept that essentially the information that is personal private information under privacy law is freely available, whether through a website or port 43, to all comers for whatever reason. In other words, it was the first time there was a rejection of what was then a requirement, and it still is for that matter. And so you had a sort of a recharged mandate for the And I'm going to use the term RDS. It's Registration Directory Service. But one of the slides that Chuck will be using shows there are actually three things involved in WHOIS. One is the actual WHOIS data, and that's just the information that's required. There's the actual directory service that provides that data. There's access to that data. And the terms have become intermingled. So when people say WHOIS, they actually can mean different things. They're all referring to that the data that's established under that's required under the registration accreditation agreement. Anyway, we come to 2015. You have the terms of reference for the group, the working group that Chuck is going to talk about, charged with two things, which he'll talk about. It's about the access, accuracy, and so forth of WHOIS data, but it's also picking up from where the expert working group stopped, saying, have a look at the work that they did and build on it. And having said, by the way, the final thing, this is not about GDPR. We've talked enough about this. The point about GDPR is because of the way that it ropes ICANN in as a possible data controller under its own definitions and therefore subject to possibly very significant fines, 4% of their annual global turnover, they are required amongst all of the registries and registrars, and I'm sure all of you are aware of these requirements, to meet certain data protection rules under the GDPR that relate directly not only to the European Union but to what's called the European Economic Activity. Much broader term. It's meant that at least in the interim, ICANN has had to look at its contracts with registries and registrars and whether they amount to being in breach of the directive. That whole stream is going on now. It's temporary. The term is interim. And the policy is not going to change until we have an outcome from what Chuck is going to talk about. Over to you. Next slide.
Thank you, Holly, and thanks for the invitation. Unfortunately, I'm going to start off with an apology, a sincere apology. We were supposed to do this presentation a month or a month and a half ago, and on the 23rd, I think that was January, and since I'm in California, it was actually the 22nd for me, but I put it on my calendar on the 23rd, so I was only 24 hours off. So my apologies for missing that, I'm glad we have this opportunity here today. It's always kind of fun to do it in person anyway. Now, I recognize many of you. Some of you I've worked with for many years. Some of you are brand new to me, and it's very nice to meet you. And I have a lot of slides, but I'm going to go through the background slides really, really fast so that hopefully we have time for Q&A, which I think is most important. Most of you probably are pretty familiar with WHOIS and registration directory services and so forth. For those that aren't, these slides will be available. They're probably already available in your APAC space. If you have questions, I'd be more, you know, afterwards, you can send me an email. I'd be happy to respond. You have lots of experts in this group here that can answer your questions as well. That's just a quick outline what the slides cover. I'm going to go through, especially agenda item one really fast. So be ready to switch slides. Keep going, please. Okay. The PDP, as Holly said, and I'm not going to cover most of this because Holly did a good job of covering it, going back to the protocol, the WHOIS in 1982 and forward. As most of you know, it was in the latter half of the 90s when the internet domain really took off and started to grow, and that's where we started having some of the first conflicts, lawsuits, because people were registering names. That one famous one, some young man registered McDonald's.com. So that's really when policy development started, especially after ICANN was initiated in 1998. And the first policy that ICANN developed was what we know today as the UDRP, the Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy. And, of course, that's still in place today. Go ahead and switch slides. This slide, and I'm not going to go through it just for the sake of time, but it shows how the flow is from a client seeking domain name information. And by the way, who isn't just for domain names. There's who is for number community, and you have somebody part of your community that just knows a little bit about that. But what we're going to be focusing on is the naming part of delivery of WHOIS services. Go ahead and switch the slide. Here you see some of the key terms. Hopefully all of you are familiar with those. Registrants, of course, register domain names. They may do that through resellers. And ultimately, the person in control of the domain name is the registrant. And, of course, any registration for a top-level domain, a second-level domain of one of the top-level domains goes through a registry operator. And, of course, ICANN's involved in registries, and registrars all have agreements with ICANN. Go ahead and move on. Here's an example of WHOIS information. Most of you, this is old news, and depending on whether you're looking at a what we call a thin registry or a thick registry, you might see different information. If you want to go back and look at this, I'll let you do that on your own time, and we'll move ahead. The way the policy development works in the GNSO is it's a multi-stakeholder bottom-up process. So in order to involve all viewpoints, it gets kind of messy, and it can be very slow. And that's particularly true with regard to WHOIS or registration directory services. There are a variety of WHOIS policies that have been developed over the years, but the toughest problems have yet to be solved, and that's what this latest working group is tackling. You can see the list of policies there that are in place. I won't go through that list. Next slide, please. So what's this PDP all about? Well, Holly covered that pretty well. The board task the expert working group, as she said, with developing, taking a fresh approach and looking at this whole problem. And they did a great amount of work, but it's important to recognize that the expert working group was not a policy development effort. They weren't tasked with developing policy. That responsibility for generic top-level domains is left to the GNSO. So they did great work. We're using their work, and we will continue to use their work, but they did not establish any policies because they weren't a policy development group. Go on to the next slide, please. A lot of concerns have been expressed over the years. Probably all of you have run into them from different perspectives. You can see them listed there. I won't go through them. But as was indicated by Holly earlier, you have this big conflict between privacy and access. And that's really where the conflicts are. And there are legitimate arguments for both. And that's what the working group is grappling with. Next slide, please. Holly kind of covered this, so let's go on to the next slide. When the board started doing their work on it in 2012, and here you see the goal of the PDP working group that I am chair of. Okay, we start out, and it's our charter is broken down into three phases. If you look at the flowchart at the bottom there, you'll see that phase one is to develop requirements for a new RDS system. Phase two is to develop policies that support, that fulfill those policy requirements. And then phase three would be developing implementation guidelines. And so on. We are, and you'll probably see this on another slide as well, just in the really the beginning stages of phase one. Next slide, please. We have in our charter, there are 11 questions that are asked in the categories you see there. In the working group so far, we have worked on questions one, 2, 4, and 5. We haven't completed any of those. We are right now working on purposes under question number 1. Now, it's taken us over 2 years to get there. So, I sorry to say that. It's a challenge. Keep in mind that the problems we're dealing with have been dealt with in ICANN almost from the beginning of ICANN with very little progress. Again, it's because there are two primary camps that really take positions that conflict with one another. Okay? And there are valid reasons for both. It's not just an easy solution, and that's why it's taken so long. Next slide, please. So what's the current status? Go ahead, next slide. In phase one, we're supposed to develop fundamental requirements for GTLD registration data. And in particular, who are the users? What are the purposes for registration data? And who should have access, what about accuracy, what data elements should be displayed either publicly or maybe in a controlled, gated access or tiered access as you're hearing more often in the GDPR work. And then, of course, privacy requirements. Those are the first 5 questions in our charter. Once we finish those questions, we will prepare our first initial report and present that to the GNSO Council. And in that, we're going to have to ask a fundamental question that's in the middle of this slide. Is a new policy framework and next generation RDS needed to address these requirements? Well, you may find yourself asking, well, why do you have that answer that question? Don't we know the answer to that? I think most of us do, and it's become even more evident with the GDPR work going on that one will be needed. But it is part of our charter to answer that, and then the council will decide whether we move on to the other 6 questions and ultimately to the other phases. And you can see in red in that next to last bullet the other 6 questions that will need to be dealt with. Now, my personal opinion is that if we can get through those first 5 and reach reasonable consensus on that, it'll still be a lot of work to continue, but the hard part hopefully will be behind us. Now, I have a tendency to be overly optimistic, although working in who is an RDS has a tendency to make you pessimistic, and I've certainly experienced that. Next slide, please. Okay, so there you see those first 5 questions again. And like I said, with the exception of with the exception of accuracy, which is on the lower right, we have spent considerable time on most of these, and we've been for the last few months especially working on purposes, which if you know anything about the EWG report, that was a big issue there, and it's a big issue in the European GDRP. Next slide, please. Oh, but I'll back up to that one in just 1 second. So you can see at the bottom, I think the number has changed, and I didn't update this. I think we now have 49 agreements of rough consensus. Now, most of those are building blocks to help us answer these questions that you see on this slide. If you go to the next slide, you'll see an example of one of the agreements that we've reached, Working Group Agreement 46. And these are tentative agreements. Because there are so many interdependencies on these different areas, we recognize that we may have to come back and revisit some of these agreements. And so we call that an iterative approach, where we're probably going to have to go back and make sure, does this still make sense based on the latest agreements that we've made? And this one says, technical issue resolution for issues associated with domain name resolution is a legitimate purpose based on the following definition. I won't read the definition for you. You can look at that here while that slides up, or come back, go back and look at the slides. But the working group has pretty strong agreement that technical issue resolution is a legitimate purpose for collecting registration data and for displaying that. And when we start talking about display, we have to decide whether we would recommend displaying it publicly or in some sort of restricted form of gated access or tiered access. Next slide, please. Okay, what are the next steps? And you can move on to the next one. So you can see a little bit of a history of our work going to back to the board resolution in April 2015. Charter was approved in November that year, and we started our work in January 2016. We developed a possible requirements list. We started our deliberation on possible purposes on the requirements in November of 2016. And we're hoping, and it's not a done deal, but we're hoping by June of this year to start our first initial report. So Holly's cheering. It's again, it's not a sure thing, but that's our target right now, and we've had to move that target several times. So and then you can see beyond that, if we're able to deliver that first initial report, then at that point, the council, GNSO Council, which is meeting right now, I think, yes, they have started. That's where Cheryl went. They will have to then make a decision whether we need to do more work or we can move on to the other questions, whether they agree with our recommendations at that point. And, of course, the GNSO Council will seek all of the different components of the GNSO and get their feedback. The whole community will be asked to provide comments on that first initial report. Next slide, please. Again, this is another way of looking at what we, of all 11 questions, though that table in the upper right there is just abbreviations for those 11 questions that we have to deal with.
I found this really useful, but I suggest that you don't look at this now, but when you're looking exactly at what we've been sort of struggling over for 2 years, do look at that, because you see the kind of questions we're dealing with.
Thanks, Holly. And again, it may be a little bit more than you want right now, but it is a helpful chart. And keep in mind, this is just for phase one. Okay, next slide. Okay, again, another way of breaking things down of where we're at right now. we are in our work plan, in work plan item 12, and in particular 12C, which is defining purposes. And what are the purposes for collecting RDS data? What, if you know anything about the GDPR, you know that you have to have a purpose, and what purposes are legitimate for that. And one key point, key question that the working group has to deliberate on is, okay, you might have a purpose for collecting data, but if you, in some cases, you might not collect the data for that purpose, but you might give access to some community or some authorized parties. Next slide, please. I've covered phases 2 and 3. Let's go on. Okay, next slide, please. All working groups in the GNSO are open to everyone, so if this fascinates you and you'd like to help, you're welcome to join at any time. Now, you're going to have some work to catch up on, and we do ask you to do that. But there's some links there that you can find when you go back to the presentation and have membership how to become a member. And by the way, you can just be an observer, too. That's possible as well. Next slide. You can provide input a variety of ways. All the stakeholder groups in the GNSO have members on this working group, so you can provide it through them. The ALAC has members on this working group. You can provide input through them. We will provide specific opportunities, like, for example, the initial report where you can provide input. So there's lots of ways to provide input. And again, you can become a member if you like, or at least an observer. Next slide. So let me say thanks, and I hope I left some time for questions, because that's the more interesting part. Sorry to go so fast, but if I didn't do that, we wouldn't have had any time for questions. So,
thank you. So we hand the time to Holly, who is our facilitator, to facilitate discussion and questions.
I'm Siva Subramaniam from ISOC India, Chennai, LS, and there was an item on legitimate purpose, and I understand that there is a discussion on what is legitimate in one country is not legitimate in another country. So is there any attempt or any effort to arrive at a common minimum legitimate purpose? And there's a whole lot of common minimum to be developed as far as DNS is concerned. But in this particular context, is there any effort to look at what is legitimate in every country or in most countries, and then arrive at what is a common minimum that DNS could adapt as legitimate? We have examples in DNS, like we follow the UDRP, and what is a trade name in one particular country may not be recognized as a trade name in under UDRP and for the DNS. So like that, is there any possibility that we can take up an exercise to arrive at certain common minimum parameters for what is legitimate and what is a trademark and so on, so many things? Thank you.
Thanks. Great set of questions there. First of all, our working group is very fortunate and has an advantage that who is working groups in years past didn't have. The technical community, through the IETF, has developed a protocol, RDAP, that you may or may not have heard of, that allows customization by geographic region or other parameters as well by the person who's accessing the data. Before, with the old WHOIS system, we didn't have that ability. So, and this doesn't directly address your question, but one of the possibilities we have is through this protocol, which has been approved and is in registry and registrar agreements already, although they're just pilots going on for it right now, we can establish requirements that vary by jurisdiction or vary by the user that's involved and so forth. So we don't have to have one set of requirements that applies throughout the whole world. Now, we have already, as a working group, agreed on what we're calling, instead of thin data, a term that I'm sure you're familiar with, we're calling it a minimum public data set, okay, that would be public. So we've already made some progress. Now, when it gets down to definition of terms and the variations across jurisdictions and so forth, that's going to be more of an implementation issue in phase three. Now, we have to keep those things in mind, though, when we're developing requirements. One requirement will probably end up being we need to be able to have requirements for a system and policies that support a system that will vary by jurisdiction. Is that clear?
It's clear as far as who is or the data access by users is concerned, but customization as per IETF protocol for various other DNS matters, not just who is accessed, but various other DNS matters would make it very, very complicated. So I think we do need an exercise to arrive at what is common for DNS, what is acceptable for DNS, wherein we tell individual governments that, okay, this is a global set of parameters by which we abide by, and it is not possible for us to customize for every one of the 200 countries. And so,
Shiva, okay, we're not going to go into trademarks, and we're not going to go into this is just about who is, and it's just about this huge bit of work that we're doing. And I do want to leave time for other questions. Any other questions that... Paul.
Hi, thank you very much. It's good to see this this work going on. Although it's in the DNS world, I assume it's going to be quite interesting to see what you come up with and how it relates to numbers. A couple of questions. I don't think you covered them. One is RDAP, the role of RDAP and whether it's being sort of fully considered in this. I guess it is, but just interested to confirm that. The other is... something that I guess falls under the question of what data you're storing, but it's a particular thing that should be of interest here, which is multilingual data and the fact that a multilingual directory like a Whois type directory needs to not only be able to store details of objects in another language, but actually to store multiple language versions of attributes of an object like a company name or an address or a person's name, which don't translate automatically between, say, a Chinese name and an English name that someone might use, and whether that's something that's being pulled out, that's something that's being highlighted as a kind of a requirement early on, or whether it's just considered to be part of that question of, what data you're going to store.
Thanks. Just to jump in quickly, RDAP refers to Registration Data Access Protocol, for those who are not familiar with the acronym.
So several questions there, Paul, and all really good. First of all, it's not up to this working group to decide whether the RDAP protocol is going to be used. It is. That's already been decided. That's not a policy issue. In fact, in registry agreements, and I believe in registrar, the RIA for registrars as well, they have a requirement to implement RDAP when it's appropriate. And several registries I know are doing test beds on that and so forth right now. So that's happening. So RDAP is an accepted thing, and that's kind of what I was getting at. And this relates to the IDN issue, too, which is really important to this group. The existing Whois protocol doesn't support IDNs at all. I mean, it's terrible. It's totally lacking, and that's been identified for years. So the nice thing about RDAP, it does support IDNs, and so it's really important that that be part of that. Now, I probably didn't answer all of your questions, but hopefully I picked up the main ones there.
I think the question, one question, and this is supported by RDAP, so I guess it's part of the design, is the fact that sometimes multilingual content is seen as being the ability to have one language or another, to be able to have one language version of one thing or another, but it needs to be finer grained than that, in that you actually need an object in your directory database to carry multiple language versions. And that's sort of, I think it's a design requirement, actually, for a functioning internationalized directory service like we're talking about.
Good question. Any further? Yes. Go ahead.
Thank you for replying half of my question already, accepting that who is not compatible with IDNs. Wearing a USG hat, we promote one thing, the concept where all the domain names and email addresses are treated equally. And if some group is not working towards that, where Whois data accepts the IDNs and EAI, we are really deep marketing the email addresses and IDNs. I cannot use my email address, which I have right now in Hindi, to register a domain name as my registrant contact. And that's going to be rather negative for this community, very especially where the linguist is very prominent, that we need some group is required to address this issue on a priority basis. Other than much before, then who accessed the data? I am not able to even use the data.
So first of all, it's important to understand that this working group isn't tasked with solving the email problem, okay? We're tasked with developing requirements for a registration directory service, what we know today as Whois, okay? But we're not tasked with solving the email problem. And I think, and I'm not the best person to talk to this, I think for the most part that's in the technical community still.
So maybe I have not spoken correctly. I am not asking you to solve the email problem. I have an email address. Will data accept it? That's my question.
Are you asking would that be possible to show that in RDAP, for example? Yes. RDAP does, I mean, the technical community did a very good job, and I'm not a technical person, but they did a very good job of making, that was one of their requirements, so develop a protocol that would support the IDN representation of your email.
I don't think we've got any further time, but look, Chuck, thank you for your presentation. I'm sure that he'd take any further questions if you go through Joyce with that. I can only say watch this space. We may actually finish phase one sometime. Back to you, Jara.
Thanks. Let's hand back to Joyce for some AOB, and we have a number of announcements to make.
Thanks very much. This is Joyce again for the record. Could I just go to the next slide? I think we should go to slide 36. Yes. So just to announce that we are opening the Apex Space survey. It's an annual survey, and we'd like for you to provide us your feedback. If you've been attending the Apex Space sessions in the past year and you have some comments and suggestions for how we can improve it, we'd love to hear from you. But at the same time, the aim of this survey is to also help us plan for Apex Space in 2018 in the coming year. So if you have certain topics that you want to talk about, you want us to cover during Apex Space, we'd love for you to tell us as well in the survey. And the deadline for it is 20th April 2018. So please go to the link and then click on the survey as well. One of the questions, of course, is if you are okay with the current frequency of Apex Space. Right now, we run once every 2 months or bi-monthly. If you think we should increase the frequency, have it monthly, or even decrease the frequency, we'd also love to know. Next slide. As usual, we don't have time to talk about the topics for our next web conference. What I've done instead is to list some of the proposed topics. Do note that a lot of the topics at the bottom are actually rolled over from previous web conferences where we didn't have enough time to cover. So we will bring this back to the mailing list to discuss with you again. If you've not joined us, please let us have your email. There is a sign-up sheet. You should have put it in as well. But what we're looking at now is we will go through the results for the survey, a small introduction on the ICANN Reviews Toolkit, a newcomer toolkit, and we are also proposing to cover universal acceptance and IDNs during this web conference. We have two other topics, the FY19 budget, but I think by that time, because it's May, June 2018, it may already not be much of a hot topic by then. And then we have another one on the Open Data Initiative, so that was brought up by Cheryl in the last web conference. I'm not sure if there's still interest in that, but you can let me know. And next slide. And finally, do join us at the APEC Social. It is at 5:30 today. I understand there are a lot of conflicting meetings. We'd love to just have you come over, even for a few minutes to say hi. We have food and drinks, so it would be very lively and very fun time to meet everyone. Do note that it is not at the terrace, as previously stated. It's actually at Sheraton, the link. So it's on the second level of Sheraton Hotel, just opposite from the conference venue. Just walk over. It's from 5:30 to 6:30. We really hope to see you there. Thank you very much. And we will close the APEC space now. I just give Jiarong for the closing remarks.
Yeah, so please join me to thank Chuck for taking his time. And also Holly for facilitating the session. Now, we've reached out to you, some of you before. If you happen to be a community leader in the SO and AC, we may be reaching out to you to facilitate for other APEC Space sessions, so do watch out. Thank you. This session is closed.
And who has the sign-up sheet?